Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from San Francisco at the Intel Developer Forum, and we're with Art King, Director of Enterprise Services and Technologies and board member of the Small Cell Forum at SpiderCloud.
Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm good. Art, we haven't talked, I don't think, since Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
That's correct, yeah.
So apparently I just catch up with you at conferences. But why don't we just start by reintroducing SpiderCloud to the Chip Chat audience and what your focus in the technology spectrum is.
So SpiderCloud makes an indoor cellular wireless platform to deliver cellular service inside buildings. Mobile operators are faced with a lot of challenges with customers putting in energy-efficient glass that's coated with metal that saves the building owner money on electricity, but also cuts off the cell service. So we deliver cell service inside the building. We use many commodity technologies like Ethernet and a lot of the things that are familiar to IT people. And, you know, we install like a Wi-Fi system does, so it's very friendly and cost-effective for the operators to implement. As part of the platform, far in the past, we looked and said that services are going to be important in the future. And in 2010, we worked with HP to essentially construct and host a Intel x86 processor on board in a cellular network element out at the edge of the architecture in anticipation that services that needed to use that processing capacity would emerge.
Enter mobile edge computing. What is mobile edge computing? Why has it become such a focus in terms of the change in the way people are delivering that environment at the edge?
There's two things about mobile edge computing. One is the concept of services at the edge, and that's the ability to either decompose a cloud service and host part of it at the edge for performance or latency reasons, or do a lot of housekeeping at the edge of the architecture. And then there's also the need to potentially offer a whole new class of services that helps operators get better revenue and make their customers a lot happier with special services that marry the enterprise technology to the operator's technology.
So let's talk about service decomposition and why that is such an attractive thing for certain services, and what are the attributes that would define what would be driven to the edge and what would still be driven to the core data center?
In our research that we did with Vodafone and HP, we did location-based services. The processing for the amount of mobile devices moving around in an office building is just massive. And so what the process does locally in the MEC processor is it takes all the massive flow of data, breaks it down into the nuggets of necessary information, and sends it upstream to a cloud service that's actually doing the work for tracking location and adding context-aware services onto the business applications the users have.
When you take a look at connecting to broader networks, how does mobile edge computing change the way you think about the services that you're delivering inside of buildings and the analytics that you may apply to those services?
There's analytics that apply, but more importantly, for the software vendor community, they have to be able to write to interfaces that are standardized everywhere so that they're not writing special software packages for the SpiderCloud for any other competitors in the industry. So we look at it as a catalyzing event for the software development community to write once and be able to run it in various different platforms that are offered by cellular equipment makers. So we really see it as a way to reduce the barriers for the dev community to say, I built this great MEC software packages. It's going to do amazing things. And I'm not bound by any particular hardware vendor to host it. I can host it in any of the variety of the platforms in the industry because at a global level, cellular is a very uneven landscape. There's half a dozen vendors that dominate the planet and just a wide mix of technology. MEC provides a standardized landscape where you can build an app and plug it in, and your success is going to be much higher than what it is today with the present kind of non-standard environment.
Tell me about the state of standards definition to make this vision a reality and what the industry still needs to do to deliver broad proliferation.
ETSI MEC is on a two-year journey right now, and it just recently started within the last 6 or 8 months. So the work that's being done right now is use cases and some standard interfaces as far as the vision of what those interfaces are going to be. And the next step is the actual definition and construction of them and the work within the standards bodies to build it out completely.
When you take a look at the impact that it would have on the provider community as well as businesses that are deploying solutions within their own environments. What does this represent in terms of a broader impact?
For the cellular providers, they're in this commoditized world of customers basically saying, what's the price per minute? What kind of phone do I have? In the world we live in, Apple and Google have taken control of the phone environment, and you're buying an Android or you're buying an iPhone. So the operators are in a tough commoditized environment, and it's hard to differentiate yourself. They're looking for families of services that they can apply that will make enterprise services be better for the customers and attract subscribers in this BYOD world from other operators to their set of services.
Now, I know that you have based your solutions on Intel Xeon processors, but the collaboration between Intel and SpiderCloud has been even broader than that. Can you talk about working with Intel?
We get a substantial amount of RF chips, our 3G RF chips are Intel provided, and Intel is among the few with the deep pockets in the industry for the R&D needs of everybody. There's lots and lots of people who can copy a design, but when you have a blank sheet of paper to create the future, Intel's among the few that can take that from the on-paper concept to reality compared to most of the other people out there.
When you are at an event like IDF and you're seeing all of the innovation from across the network industry, are there any things that stand out to you that give you hope about all of the talk that we do around network transformation and mobile edge computing becoming reality?
I see it being a reality already, but more importantly, what I see around me is the revolution is becoming more complete around us as humans and device owners having control of our lives compared to other parties.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I ran global mobility for Nike, the shoe company, for 10 years. And what we saw is a collapse in corporate control of the devices. And because our enterprise IT was a weak organization and couldn't really order people around, we had to actually sit back and empathize and listen to our customers and figure out how to serve them better instead of dictating.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw with mobility was transformational as far as, oh, there's an app for that. Goodbye, IT. And mobile had the same kind of revolution that cloud has had in enterprise data centers, where software developers are basically saying, what, 8 weeks to get a server and 3 weeks to put a VM on it? I'm going to Amazon and I'm going to build that in 3 minutes. We're dealing with a revolt around a lot of the old centralized control structures, and we're in the middle of a long journey of enterprise IT adapting to this changed future and really becoming customer-centric or becoming marginalized.
It'll be interesting to chart this journey over the next few years as IT organizations across the globe need to get more nimble in delivery of these kind of services if they want to continue to exist.
We've seen the collapse in the outsourcing model and the rise of a managed service model that moves the capital costs and a lot of the heavy lifting commodity operations costs off into the sky to someone else, but it gives the enterprise customers enough of a feeling of control that they're comfortable doing it. No longer are you like beholden to somebody else. You're buying the service from them, but you're still kind of like driving the car. You're not sitting in the back seat going, oh no, don't turn.
So IT is something that we can direct as opposed to something that just happens to us.
Yeah. In some of the early models, a lot of customers became victims.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Art, why don't you tell me a little bit more about SpiderCloud's products in this area and where folks can get more information?
We make what's called the Enterprise Radio Access Network. It scales from about 50,000 square feet to about 1.5 million square foot buildings, installs on standard Ethernet technology inside the enterprise, connects off to the mobile operator's core network to provide the cell service that people are craving so that they don't have to go outside, they don't have to stand by a window and use their phone, that kind of thing. So our focus is that particular product set and delivering it via the operator community to their enterprise subscribers.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.